Living Seed Media brings to you God's Word, which is His comprehensive equipment for changing lives. May the Lord impact your heart as you encounter His Word. For further inquiry or counsel, contact Peace House, P.O. Box 971, Boko, Benue State, Nigeria. Telephone numbers 0703-036-3659, 0703-768-1198. Email address nsmedia@livingseed.org or visit our website at www.livingseed.org. Let us sit back and listen as the servant of God brings forth the word of life.
I want you to please look at the few verses, about 8 to 9 verses that we have read in the book of Proverbs, chapter 18. We read from verse 16 up to verse 24. And each of those verses, they are very, very instructional for any effective, functional matrimony. And so this morning, we're going to be looking at those little instructions that will make your home great, that will make your home effective, that will make your home productive in terms of what God is saying to you. And as I speak to all of us in this wedding this morning, I will be also speaking particularly unto Chile and favor, as the Lord will be bringing wisdom out of His word. Now, in verse 16, the scripture begins with a very curious passage, but it's very important for me to take note of this. Hallelujah. It said, "A man's gift makes room for him and brings him before great men." A man's gift makes room for him and bringeth him before great men. Now, you wonder, why do I want to begin by looking at that as an instruction for Christian home, for an effective home? May I begin by noting, let me note two things, that every time that God is bringing two people together in matrimony, God has seen ahead of them. Every time God is bringing two people together in marriage, a man and a woman, a husband and wife, God does not do it casually. Actually, He does it specifically. He does it with careful knowledge. He does it as if He had gone to the tailor to measure their sizes, to measure their dimensions. That is what makes Christian marriage a wonderful experience. That God does not mismatch. God does not bring oversize or undersize. God does not bring the bone of another to join another, and then you have conflicting bones. God doesn't do that. Every time God is bringing a man and a woman together, it doesn't matter where they are located. It doesn't matter where they live. When the time comes for them to come together, you will see a very, very peculiar clinging. You will see something that you've never thought about before, and God will be saying, "This is now the click." Now, Chile and Favor, they will have time to tell you their story. But the way they met is peculiar. The peculiarity of their meeting was very baffling. But I'm not here to tell that story. I leave them to tell their story at their time. But I am behind, watching how things are unfolding. It baffles us to such an extent that we feel, let's wait, let's watch this. Is this right? I want to thank God that it is right. And I am here because I believe that we are in the right direction. God is going to lead you in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. Now, but that scripture says, a man's gift maketh room for him. Ever before God is bringing the two of you together, there is an investment. Marriage is a marrying together of the divine gifts that God has put in you individually. Marriage, if it is properly contracted in the will of God, it is to marry, it is to map together, it is to tie together, it is to combine the gifts, the endowments, the graces that God had put in your lives while you were individually alone. Are you understanding? Now, so let me quickly inform you that your marriage is not going to be a suspension or a destruction or a discarding of the gift of God in your lives. And for your marriage to become great, listen to me carefully, you must not stifle the gift of God in your wife. You must not disregard the peculiar endowment of God in your husband. Many people are married, but they never understand that that thing that God has put in their wife or in their husband is to be nurtured. Is to be nurtured unto expression. Is to be nurtured unto outbursts. Many husbands, maybe because they are afraid of, maybe if my wife should break forth in her gift, she will take over from me. So what do? They decide to destroy or to press down or to trample upon the gifts so that it doesn't break forth. They don't know that they are only doing a disservice to themselves. The gifts, the endowment, the peculiarity of grace, the trainings, the things that God has put in favor, are you hearing me, is for you. And it is those gifts that will make a way for you. A man's gifts does what? Makes room for him. You see, when a man is operating in his gifts, when a man is operating in his endowment, you don't struggle because it will make what? Room for you. It's only when a man is not working in his gifting, when a man is not operating in the grace that God had given him, that's when he is struggling to find a space. Whenever you find a man that is struggling to find space, that is struggling with people, that is always fighting to find a space, the first thing that you must check is that that man has neglected his gift. Maybe he wants to be like someone else. Maybe he's trying to fit into what heaven had not endowed him for. So he will be a misfit. Or at best, he will be an adaptation of what he is struggling to be. Can I say to you, the two of you, in order for your marriage to take you into greatness, as soon as you settle now, you must learn to discover what are the peculiar gifts, what are the peculiar grace, what are the peculiar things that God had put in us And that's what will make a room for you. So can I ask you, concentrate on nurturing each other's graces and gifts. And as it is combined, your ministry will find expression. Hallelujah. As it is combined, your ministry will break forth. He said, let me repeat it again. I am conscious that I want to be short, but I'm opening very big chapters. You will study that when you have space. He said, a man's gifts maketh room for him and brings him before what? Great men. Honestly speaking, you don't need to lobby with great men. Amen. Amen. You don't need to lobby with men. You don't need to be filling forms here and there and say, can I please see that man? If you know the secret, when you allow the gift of God in your life, and which is now being enhanced with your marriage, when you allow it to grow, when you allow it to develop, when you allow it to find expression, it will make room for you. It will bring you before great men. And when you get into the presence of great men, hallelujah, they will remove their cap and salute you. What are they saluting? They're saluting a peculiarity that you have allowed to grow. Can I request that let this marriage, because people are asking questions. I'm now speaking to you directly, Chile. People are asking questions. When will you become something? When will you do that? When will you be this? Are you not wasting away? And I know in my heart that you are not wasting away. I know in my heart that you are about to break forth. I know in my heart that that which has been suppressed inside of you is about to be released. And as it is released, it will take you distance. It will carry you before great men. So favor coming into your life is like a spark plug. What did I call it? It's a spark plug. It's to crank the engine. It's to bring a release. And you will run a distance. You will overtake. You will overtake. People will say, how did it just quickly come over? It's because the gift of a man maketh a room for him. May this marriage that we are all sitting here to watch, we don't just commit ourselves to something if I know it will not work out. I know it will work out. And I know it's going to bring about the manifestation of the divine purpose of God in the name of Jesus Christ. I want to go away from that because why that sets the foundation for your marriage. And I'm speaking to all of you that are married. Can I beg you, some of you are married but you've not understood the benefit of marriage because you are not releasing the gifts that are located in your wife. Even though you are married, I see you still struggling for space because you don't understand that the gift that is peculiar in that woman was meant to make room for your life. If your room has been made, maybe you don't need a wife. But when God adds a woman to your life, and that woman comes to you as a gift, it's meant to bring you unto greatness. May the Lord help every one of you sitting before me today to maximize. If you are married already, if you are not yet married, I want you to pray and say, Father, I am not just going to marry to settle down. I hear people say, now I've gone to marry and settle down. They don't understand what it means. Some people, the word they call settle is sedimentation. Say, I want to marry and sediment.
That's what they call settle. But you see, when God brings a correct woman to your life, number one, you are settled in that you are no more restless. But you are not sedimented. You are only now begin to move. So when Gideon now began to sing and talk about a voyage, that you are entering now into a great journey, I just said, may God grant you understanding in the name of Jesus. Amen. Now, I'm going to be speaking peculiarly to the two of you, as I'm speaking to everybody, but even if no one cares to hear, you must listen to this. You must take note of this as you journey in your life. Verse 17. He that is first in his own cause seemeth just, but his neighbor cometh and search him. He said, what is Bragwile looking for here? Those are the peculiarity of the Holy Spirit. He that is first in his own cause seemeth just. You don't understand that because it looked like an archaic English. But that's one of the things that has not allowed many marriages to be great. He that is first in his own cause. He that is always thinking he is right in his own cause. He that does not give allowance to recognize that what I know, I may know it, but I needed someone else to search me out. Many husbands, one of your problems is that you feel you are first in your own cause. You are the leader. Whatever you say is correct. Nobody could speak after you have spoken. It will seem as if you are right. It will seem as if you are correct. It will seem as if, oh yes, that's what it is. And you may find yourself arguing, holding on, insisting, this is how it must go. Can I tell you, the Holy Spirit says, he that is first in his own cause seemeth just. It's interesting that the Bible did not say is just. What's the word seemeth? Eh? It looks like. It's an assumption. How many marriages are scattered because of assumption? How many husbands and wives cannot talk together because of presumption? You always think you are right. It seemeth just. And always, you always think, yes, I'm first in my own cause. Let me share with you that jeopardizes your greatness. It does not allow you to travel far. Do you know the truth is this? It doesn't reduce you if you listen. Amen. It doesn't reduce you if somebody criticizes me and says, Bragwile, you are foolish. And I say, how? He said, because you put one leg here, you put one leg here. Is that not foolishness? I didn't know. So if I put my leg here and put my leg here, will it be right? He said, yes. I collect wisdom even from the fools to add to mine, and I become wiser. A teachable man only grows wiser. An argumentative man throws away wisdom. Never you see, the other way the Bible will have put it is that don't be self-conceited. Don't be wise in your own eyes, that would have been the way to put that verse. But you decided to put it in a manner that is very interesting. That he that is first in his course seemeth just. He will appear as if it's okay. So now, as a husband and wife, can I say to you, give allowance. When you have thought and thought very well, wait for the second opinion. Don't hold on until your opinion. It must be done like this. If it's not done like this, it is going to be bad. Favor. Don't do that. So that you can grow well. Are you hearing me? You know, I'm speaking to you as your fathers. And I want you to take note of that. Hugging with Chile, you will not conquer. Are you hearing me? She's laughing now. The way forward is not the way of insisting. The second opinion is going to add wisdom to your life. Hallelujah. Chile, he that is first in his course appears just. Appears. It seems. And how terrible it is to build a castle on a mere presumption. How dangerous, in fact, not just dangerous, it's wasteful to go on presumption that I am right. Don't do that. You are no more a young boy. So you don't have many more years to make experiments. Every step you take now must be step on targets. And if you are going to take step on targets, you can't live on presumption. It appears right. It appears correct. No, 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 no. Favor. Listen to her. When she's talking, don't argue. When she brings out her wisdom, it may not be too big wisdom. Collect it. Wait for the evaluation of the other person. He says, he that is first in his own course seemeth just, but his neighbor comes and searches him. How wonderful it is to have a wife who can search you. Whenever we are writing books, and we have written a lot, and there are many brothers who help to edit our work. But you know, the biggest difficulty I found is that if I do not bring myself down, there are very few disciples that can search me out. You are not hearing me. You are not hearing me at all. There are very few disciples that can pick what I've written and say, Bragbile, this is okay, but it's not okay. And they will carry their red barrel and crush it and say, sir, we cannot allow this to go. I don't have many, but I have one. I have one here. Hallelujah. If, you see, none of my books can come out until she has searched me out. You need someone to search you out. Someone that searches you out, not to kill you. There are many of us, we cannot tolerate criticism. But you see, it's a foolish husband that also receives the criticism of the woman who knows you inside out. You see, you are not a great man, When it is people outside that are clapping for you, they are ignorant. You think that people clap for you, ignorant people are evaluating you. People that don't know, they don't have the facts of the matter. They don't know who you are yet. They only see you on the platform. They look at you, you dress, they say, ah, good, hallelujah, we thank God. If only those people that evaluate you are ignorant people, people are ignorant of who you are, ignorant of your secret life, you can't go far. You will seem right. But at the end of it, you are not. What have I decided to do for myself? I try to gather brothers like this. Brother Emmanuel, Brother Tewase, Brother Dennis. People that are not too junior to me. I cherish them. When we have meeting, and I say, Brother Emmanuel, what do you think about this? They say, well, whatever you say, let's read. I say, get away from here. I don't like that. We don't like sycophants. But you see, not many people can be blessed with honest, objective neighbors, companions that can evaluate them and set them on course. I used to have a brother. It pains me that he's no more around. Whenever he's sitting down there and I'm preaching, he put me on my toes. Because, not that he does not like what I'm saying, he wants me to grow. So when I'm preaching, he's taking note for himself, then he's taking note for me. When we finish, when I come down, he said, Brad Billy, come. I say, yes, sir. He said, why did you take that verse? The Holy Spirit has already led you this way. Why did you go this way? Once you went that way, I knew you are going to the bush. I started praying for you. Then, honestly, I would say, actually, when I went to that Bible verse, something disappeared in my spirit. So I was struggling to find my way back. He said, I saw you. I need people like that. I need people that when I come down, they say, bro, thank God, but it is this. It remains this. Not many pastors like such people in their congregation. They don't like such people in their church council. They don't like people that when the pastor finish speaking or the man of God finish speaking, they say, excuse me, let's leave this spiritualization apart. God said, let's settle down. God is speaking to all of us here. Brother, tell us, what do you want to do? Don't hide it under the name of God said. If you have people like that, you will go well. But like I'm telling you, it is not easy to have such people. You have many people that are ordinary admirers. Are you hearing me? You have people that are praise singers. People that have been blessed by your life, they will impress. They are impressed. They are impressionable people. That's what many of us have. We don't have correct men and women that can search us out. Now, you know what God is beginning to do now? God is bringing a favor that can search you out. Will you allow it? Will you allow it? I want you to commit yourself. I want you to believe in that. You know, some of us, you are like, there is this animal. What is that animal that normally bring out spikes? You see, whenever you are coming near it, what does it do? It brings out those spikes. So what do? You run away because it will choke you. There are some of us that you have that defense mechanism of bringing out spikes. And because people don't want to quarrel, they say, leave him alone. I don't want to lose my salvation. I don't want to lose my holiness. I'm going to heaven. I don't want anybody to delay me. So what do? they afford to look away. They say, that's it. Is it not Chile? That's how Chile does his own thing. Let him go. That's not good. When you talk to him, he will now begin Bible exposition left and right and daze you with Bible. Since you don't know enough Bible, you better keep quiet. I don't want people to be silenced because of my Bible exposition. I need men that can search me out. But I'm telling you that they are very scarce. But when God wants to help you, he gives you a wife. A wife that is sensitive. A wife that is prayerful. Oh, madam, is that what you are doing to your husband? the man of God is saying, is that why I used to think you are criticizing me too much? Please allow her. Do you promise in the presence of this holy assembly that you will allow her? Hallelujah. Now, I'm saying this very importantly to all of you sitting here. Some of your wives, this is how they do. Because if they ever speak, you just come out. And for 2 days, no more talk. You say, why? You say, why? You don't know how to respect somebody. You quickly think it is issue of respect. You don't know that it's a weakness in your character. It's a weakness that cannot listen. You are afraid to be criticized. But the word is not criticized, to be searched out. That's the language. And a neighbor comes to do what? To search him out. To help you. To analyze. Say, let's look at it again. Because I don't have all the time to keep dealing with this kind of exposition, I want to beg you that you will take note of this. That as the Lord helps you, and as the Holy Spirit gives you wisdom, God is bringing one into your life now. It's not like any other. This is the one that even if you don't listen to, you will come back. Isn't it? You will sleep on the same bed. You will pray together. Now, have I given you power of criticism? Is that what I'm asking you to do? No. Am I asking you to be on the opposition panel? So that every time your husband says something, say, no! And some wives, you have bad language. Your first word that comes out of your mouth, you don't say to a husband. If you want him to listen to you, your first word is not no. You don't say that. When you say that, you are putting yourself on the opposition corner. You know what you do? You are evoking manpower to come and do what? Crush you. Why you, a weaker vessel, want to be crushed? Wives, are you hearing me? You don't need to be crushed. But there are little words that must come out of your mouth so that you can be useful to this man. Gentleness. You want to search him out. He has come with a lofty idea. You say, oh, that's wonderful. That's great. But can I look into it? Do you permit me to try to search whether we can go ahead? Yeah, go ahead. Go ahead. I know you're for me. Then, some of the bundles that were packaged without carefulness, as you are searching it out, you start seeing it strand by strand. You are drawing it out. You are dropping it. Sometimes when I finish writing a book, the editorial department, they have passed it. They are already going to the press. Sometimes they mistakenly say, but we have not shown it to Sister Shade. So when they get it to Sister Shade, the book waits for another 1 month. Not because she's not going to walk. She's walking. Sometimes she's walking. But then she's now bringing out issues. Say, no. This is not right. Oh, no. Mm-mm. We can't let this go. Sometimes I'm sitting there. I say, no, but that's what I want. He said, no, you can't have it that way. I say, why? He said, it will look like this. It will look like that. I say, okay. Is that how it will look? He said, yes. May God make favor a useful implement in your life. You know, for all of you that are my staff, I pray for your wives to be like my wife. To stand properly in your life. To help you. To advance you in life. I don't see the future of our ministry if we don't have wives that are sensitive and yet humble. So you'll be wondering, what does this have to do with marriage? It's because the correct neighbor that can perform that assignment is not an outsider. Are you hearing me? This is the question that I have dealt with over and over again. People come, they say, why is it that my husband is gentle to everybody else? When they are talking to him, we say, yes. But whenever it is me, he say, oh yeah, talk, I'm going now, I don't have time. I say, you don't know the issue. All the other people everywhere else, they don't know him. They are speaking to man of God. It is only you before whom he has undressed. And you know all the contours of his life. You are the one who can point at something and say, Baba. It's not like that, Baba. If he wants to grow well, the correct evaluation must come from between the two of you. Amen. Don't insist on your ways. Allow your wife, your husband, to do what? To search you out. Can I go away? You have understood that? Can I move? Oh, I must move now. The lot causes contention to cease and parties between the mighty. You say, but what does that mean? You know, many times there's argument, there's this and this one did this one didn't do that. They say, okay, we don't know how to resolve it. Let's cast lot. And then they throw lot. Sometimes the lot that some Christians throw is their Bible. They say, okay, any chapter I open. I want to tell you that your marriage, even though it will have looked easy to live by casting lot in order to stop contention, or to, you know, he said, he parted between the mighty. You don't understand the meaning of that. Emmanuel, come here. If two mighty people are struggling, who can part them? Except you come and cast a lot. And somebody external will come and say, okay, all of you stop. We will know who is correct. If we cast lot, if it falls on your side, or if it falls on your side, you are said, you say yes. Then when it is done, the two of them will say, okay. Even though they said the lot causes contention to cease and parted between the mighty, may I say to you, two people that are contending cannot cast lot. Am I right? They will need an external person whom the two of them believed is neutral to come and cast the lot. May I say, don't let your marriage run on contention. You don't need Brother Gbile to cast lot in between the two of you. You don't need your disciples to come and say, see what my husband is saying. see what my wife is doing. And it's only when that big man comes in and say, well, you didn't do well like this. You didn't do well like this. Okay. And then the husband say, well, because uncle said. Because my father-in-law has spoken. I let it go. That is not good enough. Are we together? That's not good enough. There is a better way which the Holy Spirit will show you as I go away from that. But I can see that so many, many marriages are not strong because they are so contentious and they have always parted or settled their problem because somebody is casting lots. Such a marriage has no future because you can't do like that for long. You need to move to a new level where if there be contention at all, if there be any contention at all, you will see how to resolve it now. A brother offended is harder to be won than a strong city. So what do you do? Talk to me. What do you do? If offending a brother is harder to win him back than a strong city, so what do? You better beg. That is what the Bible says. I'm sorry to tell you. Whenever I say, yeah, no, I will not agree. I say, you are small. Your head is little. You don't know that whenever you lose a brother, even though you win an argument, you are creating a barrier for your life for years. When the Bible says the servant of the Lord must not quarrel, you don't understand the meaning of it. What it means is that, you see, as a servant of God, if you are ever going to preach, if you quarrel, even in your bedroom with your wife, and you are now ready to preach, you now came on the pulpit. And maybe by chance, so it's not because you intend to preach against your wife. By chance, the Holy Spirit is moving mightily. And the Spirit of God says, a contentious woman is like a continuous rain on the roof. It's the Holy Spirit that gave you that message, oh. Can you preach it? Talk to me. Can you preach it? Where your wife is sitting. When you finish, you come down from the wood. Ekushe. Man of God. So, Nami, there is a message for today. Abi, it's okay. It's okay. So when you want to, is that a contentious woman? When in the night you wanted to play with her, as you are bringing your hand like a rat, they said, leave me alone. Contentious woman. When you are dressing up to go to church, is that a contentious woman to follow you? He will scatter your message. Oh, you better go. Go. You know, I'm a devil. I want to share with you, brothers and sisters. A brother offended is harder to be won than a strong city. And their contentions, they are like the bars of a castle. Do you understand that? So what do you do? Avoid contention. Am I communicating with you? Avoid what? Contention. Avoid arguments. It costs you nothing to let go. Contentions will produce bars like pillars of a castle. Mommy, do you remember we had to spend 2 years with a couple. We have to bring them down to come and stay in our house. 2 years. Why? The day they were wedding, they came out. They were going on a move. They don't have a car. So they needed to join Achaba. Going. What do we call the boys that are? Okada. Wow. The husband stopped Okada. Stop. The wife said, "Is it Okada we are going to start riding?" Hey! I thought that we are going to get taxi to take us to where we are going. I don't know how to ride Okada. The last time I rode Okada, I fell down and I had wounds. The husband said something which after 10 years of marriage has never gone. I'm talking to some of you here. Some of you are bad mouth. Some of you, you speak foolishly. You don't know that words, they go and form pillars like that of a castle. And for years, you may never come out of it. You know what he said? He said, "My dear, this is the only means of transportation we have here. Enter that Okada and let's go." Are you a devil? Why is it that when I say, "Let's go," you're always resisting me? Are you a devil? I don't know how that sister's head was wired. The thing just went into the hard disk. Inside. For 10 years, their marriage was in trouble. So one day we talked. My wife talked and talked. I talked and talked. Then the sister opened her mouth. He said, "He has not told you that he married a devil. And since he married devil, devil must trouble him." I was wondering, we open our mouth, we say, "Hey, what is this?" He said, "Ask him now. Did you not marry devil?" Ask him. The brother said, "I can't remember. When did I say that?" He said, you forgot. Let me remind you. This is the problem. Brothers, you speak many words. You can't remember. Your wife, when they receive the word, it is lodged in their hard disk. 20 years, they don't forget. She began to explain vividly. He said, "When we left the church, we came to a corner, and then we were going on double lane. You remember when Achaba, you stopped? One was black, the other one was wearing this." She was so meticulous. Contentions. The Bible says if a man claims to be righteous or to be holy and he does not know how to bridle his tongue, his religion is what? Is vain. I say to you today, as many of you as are sitting in this meeting, what is it that has weakened your marriage? Contention. Wives, some of you don't understand. Your attitude first is to contend. Even when you now finally succumb, you don't know that you have already wounded a brother. To win him back is a problem. You can cook, you can pound yam. You say, "What have I done?" He said, "When are you coming on?" He said, "Well." Sometimes they are preachers. They are preachers. I'm telling you, they are preachers. Good preachers. But because you are always contending with them, it goes to form a pillar, like a castle. So what do? Avoid what? Offense. Excuse me, what is offense? Offered fence. What did I call offense today? Offered fence.